are here tonight because of the love he has for you. Think about him, think about him, think about him. Think of his faithfulness, think of his love. Think of his care, think of his defense for you. Put your hands together for Jesus and then add a shout of praise unto the Lord.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. just want to praise you. Lift my hands and say, I love you. You are everything to me. I exalt your holy name.
I just said, I won't go. Lift up your voice wherever you are. Just lift up your voice. What is that? Yabesumo. Oh, Yabesumo.
Oh, yes,
yes, we are. Yabesumo. If it's anyone. What is that? Somebody put your hands together for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh, come on, you can do better than what you are doing. You can add a shout of victory tonight. Is somebody happy to be in the presence of the living God? Let the heavens hear your shout tonight. Hey! Bless you, Minister Philip. That was so awesome. Please take your seat. I want you to turn to your neighbor and welcome him or her to church. Welcome him or her to the presence of the living God. Find out how they are doing. I know you are social distancing, so there's no problem. Hallelujah. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Tonight, I want to welcome you once again to day 3 of Apostolic Empowerment 2021. You are not happy to hear that? In meetings like this, the devil will try everything possible to make sure that we don't have it. But what I want you to understand is that the plan of God concerning our nation shall come to pass. There is no power of the enemy that shall prevail over the will of God. And tonight, I want you to position yourself, prepare your heart to receive from the servant of God. I have some few announcements. Please, let's take note that tomorrow we'll be here for the healing night. Tomorrow we'll be here for the healing night. And also, I want to remind you, if your phone is on, please turn it off. Put it on silent. Your phones, please. Your phones. On Thursday, we had an incident, and I want to alert each and every one of you to take very good care of your bags and your phones. We have some thieves among us. We had an incident last Thursday. And I also want to remind you that you are being captured on camera. So please, comport yourself. If you are a thief, this is not the place for you. Please. So the person that stole the phone, we have him on camera. And we can make him out. It is not acceptable. Please, let's comport ourselves. This is the house of God. All right. Thank you very much. Tonight, we're going to receive another powerful session from our Father in the Lord. On Thursday, it was awesome. We climbed up Friday morning, Friday evening, and this morning, we saw the hand of God in our prayer tent. This morning, we had the privilege to also minister at the National Theater, and it was awesome. Tonight, there is still some more grace and anointing available to take care of all of us. Before you leave this conference, you'll be empowered. Meanwhile, according to Jesus, the job you are required to do, if you get the right empowerment, you can do the job. For those of us who are in ministry, this is a set time for you to be elevated, to seek knowledge, and to move forward with your ministry. Hallelujah. Your ministries will never remain the same. As a matter of fact, things have already begun and lives are being affected, and I know our land will never be the same. I want us to appreciate our Father again for... Oh, you can do better. Hallelujah. Amen. Please take your seat. Before we proceed, we also have some men of God, great men of God in our midst, and I want to take this opportunity to acknowledge them. We have Reverend Dr. Ralph Ajawo, Sunday School National Director of Assemblies of God. Oh, let's do it better for Jesus. He's a National Sunday School Director of Assemblies of God. And tonight, we are privileged to have him in our midst. We also have Evangelist Atipo and the team from the Good News family. Evangelist is here. We are grateful to have you. Hallelujah. Every man of God in our midst, we salute you tonight. We thank you for coming. Tonight, shall we please rise up on our feet as we receive the ministry of our Father, Apostle Arome Osai, with a shout.
Hallelujah. Sorry for the mix-up that took place. We were ready for a cruise, but some things beyond our control interrupted our use of this facility. I hope we have been forgiven for the breaking transmission. Well, for those that didn't mind climbing up the mountaintop where we continued the spirit of the conference, somewhere on the mountain. And it has pleased the good God of heaven for us to come back here. We are here in keeping with several signals that we have received about God's intent to visit the continent of Africa. And any time God wants to begin to do sovereign things, he begins to stir up the hearts of his people, in order for each and every one of them to align themselves in so much that they can access the grace that he's making available to facilitate his agenda. It is to that end that we are God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask tonight that you will yet take us further in this adventure and cause the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened as we journey into this moment of destiny that will bring light and illumination on the dark continent of Africa and will create a platform from whence you'll be visible from every corner. We ask that you strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man and do a work in us that will last the test of time. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. God bless you. Turn your Bible quickly. Let's contemplate on some scriptures as we make deliberate effort to find our bearing on the course that the Lord has set us in this conference. Let's do something from 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you are there, say amen. And the chaos that has befallen us, know which fold that such a person can be joined to, that the privileges of and the service of discipleship can be adequately administered to that soul. Second scripture. Isaiah chapter 1. We see the obituary of a civilization. The subject of the lamentation of the prophet was consistent with the fact that a civilization was dying. And he was trying to capture the attention of the people in power, was trying to capture the attention of a generation. I'd like us to look upon the tone of this prophet as he brings an emphasis and a timely word to a generation that was experiencing massive prosperity, but at the expense of the intrinsic spiritual character that was responsible for their greatness in the first place. Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1, the names of some critical leaders in the history of Israel was mentioned. Apart from David and Solomon, these four kings were responsible for the ultimate status that Israel sustained in the community of nations, because at that time Israel was a world power, a force economically, a force in terms of military might, a force in terms of capacity, agricultural capacity. And these were the key players that were at work in their time that contributed their quota in order for the nation to sustain that status. And surprisingly, the ministry of Isaiah found expression within that time environment. This was the vision that Isaiah saw. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. These were names that were written on marble. They were the prestigious kings of the land. In fact, if my history is still in order, because I had to go study the book of the Kings to find out the feats of these great, great leaders that rose in Israel. It was in the days of Hezekiah, his feats were in the military, his feats were in agriculture. There were things that were invented. He believed in inventions, in science, and he sponsored scientists that came out with ingenuity and innovation. The status of the nation thereafter was held in the capacity of world powers. Nations had to come to Israel to learn the ways of life. It was at these glorious moments, at these wonderful moments, that a prophet in the land, a man that was not previously known, there was no prophet in his family prior to this time, the name of his father did not ring a bell, and the man rose up out of obscurity and began to prophesy. And his prophecy was not particularly in line with the praise and the prosperity that was in the land. His prophecy was about the fact that he was seeing the pillars upon which the nation had survived all these years, and in the days of these great stars, those pillars have been compromised. Being a prophetic personality, he knew that that compromise was going to result in a catastrophe. And before the catastrophe begins to find expression, he's trying to raise an alarm. I hope you know that's the assignment of the prophet. He warns us before the danger comes. He brings us perspective before the season changes, so that anyone that can hack into his voice can know when to take his journey. His emphasis will give you an understanding of when to sit, when to stand, when to walk away, and when to run. And that was what Isaiah was attempting to do. Verse 2. This was his cry. And before he began to put his cry on notice, he called heaven and earth to bear witness. I don't have time to push the emphasis or the implication of calling heaven to bear witness, earth to look upon a matter. And his challenge was that the Lord had spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. These guys were in prosperity. Their GDP was in an all-time high. Employment was everywhere. In fact, there was no need for spiritual warfare in the churches at this time. Then the prophet now rises and says, none of us are scared enough to hear the cry on the heart of God. But in the midst of our prosperity, something has been compromised which will cost us our possibilities. An act of rebellion has been found. But I hope you know, this kind of cry will not be very popular. It is likely to be ignored. And so we find that Isaiah subsequently begins to spell out the woes that will begin to come onto each city because an act of rebellion was factored in the civilization of the people, which was occasioned by blessing. It was occasioned by prosperity. Are you still with me? I know a brother. He was an expert in the ways of night prayers. He didn't have any other thing to do, so he married himself to night prayers. And over the years, he began to gain some form of mastery in night prayers. And God began to speak to him. And he began to obey God. He began to obey God. And it came to pass, he blew up financially so massively. Hallelujah. Then we started noticing some strange damsels around him. You know, when he was a poor man, he was humble, he was pious and sanctimonious. He will do the due diligence to bow down when he is greeted. But he was able to buy an SUV. He now had security people that were following him around. Guess what? He forgot the ways of night vigil. If you had known him before, you will know that the secret to his explosion was tied to the commitment to prayer. But he had soon forgotten his foundation and he was enjoying himself. Even if you don't see any symptom of disaster, that he has forsaken the way that led to his explosion is an indication of the fact that doom is coming. He no longer has covering. It's just like you set a fire and you refuse to kindle it. You refuse to The thing will burn, the firewood will begin to distance. If you don't put it together, you're going to lose that fire. So there's something Israel is going to lose because of the fact that they have not altogether submitted to the government of God. There is a cry of rebellion that was in the spirit, and the prophet picked that frequency and he was trying to warn a nation. But guess what? You know they won't hear. Okay, next verse. He said, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. See, the issue of the rebellion we're talking about here is not occasioned upon a lack of intelligence. It doesn't take so much intelligence for you to know where you are coming from. You see, even a donkey, if you get a donkey from the north and bring the donkey to Accra, you tie the donkey around the house for 2 months. If you let it loose, it can go and graze, and in the night it will come back. It is not an issue, it's not a matter that requires intelligence. It's a matter that requires a commitment. It's a matter that requires submission. It's a matter that requires alignment. He said, an ass will leave home and come back in the night. But it is in the nature of Israel to take off like a tornado. The moment they are given wings, and they will not forget where the platform that held them. This is a prophet's warning. Now, are you with me? I don't have time to read through the entire text, but I'm telling you that the thing that the prophet is prophesying and that his ministry is bringing is the things that he's seeing. There is a reason why this situation deteriorated to this state, that it is now an object of warning. There is a functionary that is absent. And if that functionary is absent, the resultant effect that you are going to see in a civilization is a decline. The best the prophet can do is to pick up that he was in utter hopelessness. He did not have the capacity. The best he could do was to warn and cry, something is happening. But the reason why the decline took place in the first place was because a certain office was missing in the administration of things within the civilization that was growing. And that's what I want to draw our attention to. If we are going to receive a move of God from heaven as a continent, and we ignore the centerpiece of true divine civilizations among men, the prophets among us will cry of the word of God into the lives of the people as their custom and their culture. Are you with me? A teaching priest. The teaching priest is that functionary that is supposed to bring capacity building. The teaching priest is that functionary that is supposed to explain the law. You see, when the National Assembly or your parliament decides to assent a bill, they pass a bill and they forward it to the executive to endorse. After the executive has endorsed, before it becomes a functional law, the judiciary must explain what it means. Because it can be subject to diverse interpretations if the authority that interprets verity, if the authority that interprets the ground norm doesn't come to the rescue. It is when those laws are interpreted in society. And so when you don't have a teaching priest, the law is without force. I was praying one day and I saw a sister. I was in Lagos and the sister was in Port Harcourt, for those of you that have been to Nigeria. And where I saw her was strange. So I called her. I said, I saw you in a strange place. And you were involved in an abomination. Then she began to cry. I said, why are you crying? That she saw an evangelist on the television. And he preached so powerfully. So she decided to visit his local assembly because he happens to be a pastor of a church. And when he came to the church, the guy still preached very powerfully until she signed up for personal counseling. And in the counseling chamber, the man brought a soup, a strange kind of soup out. After her, she unveiled what her challenge was. He brought one soup and told her that by 12 midnight, because you know, Port Harcourt is riverine, she should go to the beach and use this soap to take her bath, to wash away the darkness. Meanwhile, the guy was doing that under the guise of the prophetic ministry. All of us will be like fetish people, just because there is no teaching priest. When there is no teaching priest, we would think that the prophetic ministry is available to predict football matches. When there is no teaching priest, any form of progress that we may be making, it will be at the pose again the body of Christ to the raw position of truth, which is something that the average believer no longer has time for. And when we begin to see truth, it will be easy for us to accept the government that the truth of the word of God